pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Jordan, a drive, hangs, fires, yes! Scores! He scores! The Bulls lead 87-86. Oh, my.
Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single.
It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Welcome to WSN Weekly Sports Notion. I am Dylan Green, joined by Justin Connor. Justin, give us a rundown of what we're going to talk about on today's show.
Today we'll be talking about the British Open, what's currently going on. We're going to talk about the AFC North preview, NFC North preview, and if we have enough time, we'll talk about recent news and the Tom Brady Deflategate. So starting off the British Open, we are currently just got done with round two, and some notable scores. Phil Mickelson's currently leading with 10 under. Second is Henrik Stenson, 9 under. Fifth is Zach Johnson, 5 under. Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson are tied for 15th at 2 under. Jason Day is 1 over at 41st place, and tied for 67th, Jordan Spieth at 4 over. Dylan, what do you think about these scores so far?
Well, you know, I'm a big Phil Mickelson fan. You know, I've really enjoyed seeing him play over his career. I'm glad to see him in the lead going into the weekend, but Jordan Spieth is a disappointment. I know you're a big Jordan Spieth fan, and I want to know what your thoughts are of him struggling as of late.
Yeah, he barely made the cut. Four over was the cut line, and he barely made it in. You know, it's very disappointing. You know, dare I say it, that Jordan Spieth is currently going on a slump, and he might not. I mean, this is a far stretch. I mean, I hope this isn't true, but was last year a fluke? And it was what he did last year something that he won't be able to do again, winning both the U.S. Open and the Masters? I mean, this year he had the Masters at his fingertips, and he just blew it on the 12th hole. I watched that live, and I could not believe what was happening. And then the U.S. Open, he was practically irrelevant the whole round. Dustin Johnson took control and never really lost that. And so far in the British Open, he is, you know, extremely disappointing to see him play this way. But, you know, when you think about how many golfers there are playing in the British Open, you know, each year, it's hard to think that, you know, a golfer can win a tournament, the same tournament twice, like you know, how Jack Nicklaus, what was he have, like 17, 18, 19 major titles? I mean, some people are happy to walk away with just one, and when you win two or three, I mean, even one, it's a pretty amazing accomplishment. But it's disappointing to see Jordan Spieth play this way. I mean, of course, the conditions the past 2 days have not been easy conditions by any means. But, you know, hopefully he can bounce back and play better than the weekend.
Yeah, I definitely hope so too. But like I said, I'm a big Phil Mickelson fan, so I'd love to see him pull it out. All right, well, that's it for that. Let's jump into the AFC North preview. Justin, I think you've got the Steelers. Let's go ahead and break that down for us.
Yeah, so talk about the Steelers. You know, Ben Roethlisberger was playing great football last year before he got hurt, but, you know, you don't know how his health is going to be going forward. You know, he's been playing a pretty long time now, and he's got some pretty good skill position players. Without Martavis Bryant playing for the year, he's suspended for the season, but he's got arguably the best receiver on his team, Antonio Brown, who had 1,800 yards last year with 8 touchdowns. He was targeted 25 times, but in the red zone. And Marcus Wheaton started to come on later in the season and made some critical catches, and he fits well in this offense. But the key guys who will get an opportunity is Sammy Coates. He's a big kid. He can run, and he only had one reception as a rookie, but they'd like for him to at least fill the Bryant role to some degree. And, you know, Darius Hayward Bay, you know, he'll get some snaps like he did last year, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Steelers are able to play this year. You know, looking at their first games at Washington, it's going to be a night game, and then they go to play Cincinnati at home, at Philly, then Kansas City at home, the Jets at home, then they go at Miami, got a tough test with New England at home, then they go bye week at Baltimore, Dallas at home, at Cleveland, at Indy, the Giants at home, at Buffalo, at Cincy, and then they end with both Baltimore and Cleveland at home. So, you know, I like to think that they're probably going to be the winners of this division. But you never know with the Bengals. You know, they had a pretty good season last year, and the Browns are sort of on the rise. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're a Super Bowl contender by any means, but with RG3, maybe they can get a stable offense. What do you think?
You know, I don't like RG3 with the Browns. I think his career has been over for quite some time. You know, that they brought in Hugh Jackson, but I don't see him revamping RG3's career. Who all did the Steelers sign this offseason?
Steelers, they lost Heath Miller, but they gained Ladarius Green from the Chargers, and they signed Ryan Harris from the Broncos, but then they drafted cornerback Artie Burns from Miami, safety Sean Davis from Maryland, defensive tackle Javon Hargrave from South Carolina State, outside tackle Gerald Hawkins from LSU, outside linebacker Travis Feeney from Washington, wide receiver DeMarcus Ayers from Houston, and inside linebacker Tyler Matakovich, I think, from Temple is how you pronounce the last
name. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how to say that last name. Yeah, but you know, like you said, they drafted all those players there. They heavily emphasized the secondary there and getting Artie Burns from Miami and Sean Davis from Maryland. So secondary was definitely a concern. Correct me if I'm wrong, you may know this, but the Steelers were either bottom five or bottom 10 in the league in their passing yards allowed. Their secondary was atrocious last year. But anyway, I think they had a decent offseason. I do think they are going to win the division just based on how well the Steelers are, just their roster, and they've got Big Ben. But moving on to the Bengals, that's the team I'm going to do. They lost their offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson, like I mentioned him earlier. He's the head coach of the Browns now. And, you know, Andy Dalton had a career year, in my opinion. He did really well, probably until he got hurt. You know, everything was looking up for the Bengals until, you know, they of course, lost the playoff game, of course. They haven't won a playoff game in so many years under Marvin Lewis's era there. But the Bengals, as far as their free agency goes, they re-signed safety George Iloka, cornerback Adam Jones got re-signed, and they signed inside linebacker Carlos Dansby from the Browns. They signed wide receiver Brandon LaFell from the Patriots, but they lost wide receiver Marvin Jones, who ended up signing with the Lions. They also signed they lost Reggie Nelson, who signed with the Raiders. And then they also lost wide receiver Mohamed Sanu, who signed with the Falcons. So Andy Dalton lost a lot of his targets, but in doing that, they actually drafted wide receiver Tyler Boyd in the second round, I think he was a really good draft pick. But pairing with that, in the first round, they went out and got cornerback William Jackson from Houston. They also got inside linebacker Nick Weigel from Utah State, defensive tackle Andrew Billings from Baylor, guard Christian Westerman from Arizona State, another receiver here, wide receiver Cody Core from Ole Miss, and safety Clayton Fejedilim from Illinois. So that was a lot to say there, but the Bengals, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think they're going to do as well as they did last season. I think I mentioned the Steelers are going to finish in first. I think the Ravens are on the come up. I'll get to them in a minute, but the Ravens were pretty injury-plagued all year. The Bengals, I mean, losing Hugh Jackson, who was a great offensive coordinator, who had the Bengals, their offense was one of the top in the league, and losing him and Andy Dalton's probably not going to do very well. Losing all these key receivers, although he still has AJ Green, I'm not sure how the Bengals are going to do next season. You have anything to add?
I think you pretty much touched on everything that needed to be said there. I'm going to quickly talk about the Browns here for a second. There's not very much to talk about the Browns. The Browns have been historically awful for the past 20 years, I could say, but there's. Quickly talking about them, they did hire Hugh Jackson as their new head coach, which, you know, you don't know how he's going to play or how he's going to fit in with the Browns. I think he'll fit in just fine. But they picked up quarterback Robert Griffin III. I know you don't like him at all. You think his career is over.
I mentioned that, but I'm going to hop in here and say, you know, he had a great rookie season with Mike Shanahan there in Washington, but after that it was kind of Kirk Cousins just kind of took over and RG3 just kind of got hurt, and that's about it. I mean, we'll have to wait and see, like I said, how Hugh Jackson is going to help RG3 or if he's going to hurt him even more.
Yeah, with Robert Griffin III, you know, the Browns also drafted Cody Kessler from USC. But, you know, he'll probably be the third string, keeping Josh McCown at the second string. And then you look at their other free agent pickups, Raheem Moore, the defensive back from the Texans, inside linebacker DeMario Davis from the Jets, outside tackle Mitchell Schwartz, and they lost Travis Benjamin, who signed with the Chargers. But then they also drafted wide receiver Corey Coleman from Baylor. That's a pretty good pick, draft on in my opinion.
Yeah. Corey Coleman's a great receiver, and I think he's gonna help RG3 as much as he can. He's gonna be pretty much a top target for RG3 with the Josh Gordon situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's not very much here to talk about with the Browns. I mean, Cleveland had their fun with the Cavs winning the NBA Finals, and the Browns sadly have not been picking up their end of the bargain in Cleveland sports. The Indians have been playing phenomenal baseball this past month or so, and the Browns are probably going to be historically bad as usual this season. You're looking at probably a 4 or 5 win season, in my opinion.
Or less.
In your opinion, less?
You yes, think less? I think less. But anyway, back to the Browns for a minute. They drafted Cody Kessler, who honestly I could see starting over RG3.
You think that Cody Kessler would start over Josh McCown also?
Yes.
You think so?
I think Hugh Jackson wants to get rookie experience.
I think you are wrong.
Okay, well, why do you think that?
Why do I think that? Because Cody Kessler had, in my opinion, an extremely disappointing last year in college. He was probably one of the Heisman front runners entering the season, and he was probably not even a talk around the Southern California and in the end of the season because of his lack of performance in college. And why you would think that a player like that would jump someone who's already been in the league for multiple years just like that, and a new head coach who you think would allow that to happen? I mean, the Browns are awful, but I don't think that they're stupid enough to do that.
Well, you know, I'm not a big Browns fan. You know,
well, I'm still saying. I don't think you got to give Browns somewhat of credit and not to make a stupid decision like that.
I'm not saying Cody Kessler's going to start day one. I'm saying he's going to give RG3 maybe a couple weeks, and they're going to lose 3-4 games, and then he's going to be like,
"But are they even going to give Josh McCown a chance?"
No, he's just going to be a backup.
So you're just going to say that Josh McCown isn't even going to get a chance at the starting job? You're just going to give Cody Kessler a job right now?
Yes, absolutely, because Josh McCown's almost 40 years old. He's so old.
It doesn't matter. When you got a quarterback who just was absolutely trash his last year in college, and all of a sudden a new coach, is going to let him start over two veterans?
Look, Josh McCown is not very good.
Well, neither is Cody Kessler.
You don't know that. Things could change in the NFL. Hugh Jackson could totally change.
Now, often is it that a quarterback who was absolutely terrible in college pans out to be a really good NFL quarterback?
This could be the first.
This could be.
There's a first for everything.
Not in this case, I don't think.
Yes, there is. You're just a Cody Kessler hater.
The Browns. I don't even like Browns, this kid. Okay, look, the Browns have not had very much success recently in quarterback picks. Look at their last quarterback. Heisman winner Johnny Manziel, where is he now? He was suspended from the league.
We didn't even talk about
him. And he's not even on a team, and he's already suspended from the league.
He's nothing like Johnny Manziel.
I'm not saying he is like Johnny Manziel. I'm just saying
he's not on drugs.
You don't know that.
We haven't seen that yet. Well, there's yet. Maybe he is. I don't know why we're talking.
Let's move on from the Browns.
We were talking way too long about the Browns.
You talk about your Baltimore Ravens. What do you have to say about
them?
Yes,
my Baltimore Ravens. I mentioned them earlier. They had a bad season. They lost Steve Smith for the year. They lost their first-round draft pick wide receiver. So they had a disappointing year, losing some key players in the beginning of the season, even during training camp and preseason. They lost so many key players at the beginning of the season that it was just like, well, time to tank. And that's what happened. They relied on running back Justin Forsett to take a lot of the load off Joe Flacco, who had little to no targets after losing Torrey Smith to free agency, who went to the 49ers last season. But they had, in my opinion, probably the best offseason in this division. They franchise tagged probably one of the best kickers in the league, Justin Tucker. They signed Eric Weddle.
Best kicker in the league?
Yeah, Justin Tucker.
You're saying he's the best kicker in the league?
Yes.
You're putting him above Adam Vinatieri and Steven Gostkowski?
Because currently, I think
he is. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
You are putting Justin Tucker over...
Because he's younger and he's got more time.
Apparently, it's what it looks like is for a kicker, age doesn't matter. Adam Vinatieri is still making 50-yard field goals. What is he, 40 now?
41, 42. 40. Yeah, I'm saying he's got more time left. They don't have much time left.
Are we talking about time, or are we talking about this season?
This season, I think he is. Okay? Well, let me finish.
Whatever.
Okay, so Justin Tucker, they franchise tagged. Then
franchise
they...
tag a kicker, my goodness. Just go.
Okay, then they signed Eric Weddle from the Chargers, who he's going to add some veteran leadership back there in the young secondary. They also picked up a tight end, Benjamin Watson, from the Saints, who had a great year with the Saints. He's 34 or 35. He's up there in age. They went out and signed a receiver, which they should have got one last year, losing all the receivers. They got Mike Wallace from the Vikings. Unfortunately, they lost outside linebacker Courtney Upshaw to the Falcons, inside linebacker Daryl Smith to the Buccaneers, and offensive tackle Kelsey Osmile to the Raiders. Now, their draft, I like their draft a lot. Drafting Ronnie Stanley from Notre Dame in the first round, getting a linebacker Kamele Correa from Boise State, getting defensive end Bronson Calfusi from Utah State, cornerback Devon Young from Temple, wide receiver Chris Moore from Cincinnati, defensive tackle Willie Henry, and probably one of the steals of the draft, running back Kenneth Dixon from Louisiana Tech. I really like their offseason. I think they've got a lot of potential this year. They just need to stay healthy. I have them finishing second this year. I'm going to go through my list of how I'm going to rank this division. I have the Steelers finishing first, the Ravens in second, the Bengals in third, and the Browns in last. What's your rankings?
I got the same number one as you. I got the Steelers first, but then I go Bengals, Browns, and Ravens.
Why do you have the Ravens so low?
I think the Ravens are going to have an extremely disappointing season. More disappointed than the Browns.
Wow. That's bold. That's a bold prediction, Justin.
Yeah, I'm all about bold predictions.
Okay, anything you want to add to the AFC North?
Nope, I think we covered it.
All right, moving on to the NFC North.
You got Chicago Bears. Talk about the Chicago Bears.
Yes, the Chicago Bears, they lost their offensive coordinator, Adam Gase, who took the head coaching job to the Miami Dolphins. In free agency, they re-signed their best receiver, Alshon Jeffrey, to a lot of money. He makes a lot of money. Anyway, then they signed Jarrell Freeman from the Colts, inside linebacker Danny Trevathan from the Broncos, defensive lineman Akeem Hicks from the Patriots, offensive tackle Bobby Macy from the Cardinals, quarterback Brian Hoyer from the Texans. Unfortunately, they lost Matt Forte. He signed with the Jets, and another tackle, they lost Jermaine Bruchard from the Dolphins. As far as free agency goes, they hit on a lot of guys. Signing Freeman and Trevathan is going to help their defense tremendously. They had no inside linebacker that was even worth having in their lineup last year, but getting Freeman and Trevathan is definitely going to help the middle of their defense. Unfortunately, losing Matt Forte is definitely going to take is going to take a lot for Jeremy Langford to come up and take that starting job, but I think the Bears have faith in him and the rest of the running back group to do that. As far as their draft goes, they had a pretty good draft as well. I think they had the best offseason out of this division. Outside linebacker Leonard Floyd from Georgia, guard Cody Whitehair from Kansas State, defensive lineman Jonathan Bullard from Florida, inside linebacker Nick Kiwasaki from West Virginia, safety Deion Bush from Miami, cornerback DeAndre Hall in Northern Iowa, and running back Jordan Howard from Indiana. I mentioned the running back group. Jordan Howard is going to get a lot of playing time this year with the loss of Matt Forte and Jeremy Langford not having a lot of experience with the Bears. Jordan Howard's going to come in and make an impact right away. I really like their draft, and I like their offseason. Anything you'd like to add?
I think you got everything there.
Okay. What team do you got?
I'm going to talk about the Packers here for a second. They made some big offseason moves. They re-signed kicker Mason Crosby. They re-signed their running back, James Starks. James Starks, I believe, is going to be more impactful this year than Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy, I think, is eating himself out of the league. I think he's gained too much weight, and he's even mentioned he's making a lot of fast food runs late at night. And I think as a running back, that you can't do that. I mean, if you want to stay in the league for a good amount of time, if you want to be impactful for the better and as a running back, you can't be putting on all that kind of weight, not muscle weight but fat weight. Moving on to free agents, they re-signed linebacker Nick Perry, and they signed Jared Cook from the Rams. And then they drafted Kenny Clark from UCLA. They drafted Jason Spriggs from Indiana. I know you're very happy about that.
Yes.
They drafted linebacker Kyle Fackrell from Utah State, inside linebacker Blake Martinez from Stanford, defensive end Dean Lowry from Northwestern, wide receiver Trevor Davis from California, and Kyle Murphy from Stanford. I think, you know, that's a pretty decent draft, in my opinion, and a pretty good free agency. Do you got anything to add on that?
Yeah, back to the Packers, I do have something to add. They had a pretty good draft. I don't understand why they drafted these two tackles, because the tackles they have right now are just as good. Maybe they're going to move them to guard or whatever. But unfortunately, the Packers didn't make very many moves in free agency. They pretty much just re-signed who was on their team. But the big splash they made was, like you mentioned, signing tight end Jared Cook, who I think is going to make a big impact on this Packers team. They had Richard Rodgers for their tight end last year. He did pretty good. I mean, he was a guy that they had at tight end. But Jared Cook's a lot better. He's going to catch more passes, and he's going to get more touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I have the Packers finishing first this year. Aaron Rodgers is absolutely unstoppable. The Bears, yes, they look like they're on the rise, but I don't think Jay Cutler's the quarterback. Anyway, moving on to the Minnesota Vikings. For me, I'm going to talk about them briefly. The division winners, they won last year. As far as free agency goes, they re-signed safety Andrew Sandejo, cornerback Terrence Newman, linebacker Chad Greenway, and some free agents that they got. They signed tackle Andre Smith from the Bengals. They lost wide receiver Mike Wallace. He signed with the Ravens. And they lost safety Robert Blanton. Not that many notable names here. I think the big thing is Andre Smith from the Bengals. He's going to come in, and he's going to be on that offensive line. He's probably going to be one of the best offensive linemen for the Vikings, and Teddy Bridgewater needs alignment to keep him upright, to keep things going for the Vikings. As far as their draft goes, they drafted wide receiver Laquon Treadwell from Ole Miss, cornerback Mackenzie Alexander from Clemson, tackle Willie Beavers from Western Michigan, inside linebacker Kentrell Brothers from Missouri, wide receiver Moritz Boerhaeger, he's a German-born wide receiver, tight end David Morgan, UTSA, and outside linebacker Stephen Weatherly. Their first two picks I liked a lot, Laquon Treadwell and Mackenzie Alexander. They needed a receiver and they needed a cornerback, and they addressed those right away. The rest of their draft was pretty much filling in what else they needed, and I think they had a decent draft. By no means was it what I expected, but getting Laquon Treadwell, a very good receiver who's going to have a great career in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think? What do you think the Minnesota Vikings are going to finish? Where do you think?
Let me go through my division rankings here. I have the Packers in first, the Bears in second, the Vikings in third, and the Lions in last. What about you?
Yeah, I got Packers first, Vikings second, Bears third, and Lions fourth. I think the Vikings, you know, I think they're going to do, fairly well this year. They have a pretty tough schedule. They start out going at Tennessee, and then they go Green Bay at home, and then they go on October 31st. They go at Chicago, and then they go to they play Indianapolis at home on December 18th, and then they finish their season going at Green Bay, and then Chicago at home. So I mean, it's a fairly tough schedule for them.
Yes,
but I think they have enough talent there that they'll do pretty well. I think
this division, in my opinion, is going to be very competitive. There's a lot of changes. There's a lot of different faces in this division. It's going to be a lot of fun to wait and see how the NFC North stands out.
Yeah.
Do you have something to say about the Lions, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly talk about the Lions. I mean, there's not very much to talk about. I mean, the Lions, they lost their star player, Calvin Johnson.
Unfortunately.
He retired for now. I mean, there's still speculation that he might come back in a few years. But as of currently, he retired, which it took a huge hit on them. But in the free agency, they re-signed outside linebacker Tahir Whitehead. They signed wide receiver Marvin Jones from the Bengals. They signed guard Jeff Schwartz from the Giants. They signed wide receiver Jeremy Curley from the Jets, wide receiver Andre Caldwell from the Broncos, and running back Stephen Ridley from the Jets. And as you can see with all those signings from and the free agency, they had to pick up a lot of wide receivers to make up with the loss of Calvin Johnson. And then in the draft, they drafted Taylor Decker from Ohio State, Sean Robinson from Alabama, Graham Glasgow from Michigan, Miles Kilbrew from Southern Utah, Joe Dahl from Washington State, linebacker Antoine Williams, and quarterback Jake Rudock from Michigan. That's, I mean, you look at their first two picks, Taylor Decker from, and Sean Robinson, those are two phenomenal picks in my opinion. I think
yes.
Taylor Decker and Austin Robinson are one of the best at their positions in the draft. And, you know, looking at their last pick, quarterback Jake Rudock, that's a joke.
I don't understand that pick.
Jake Rudock is a joke of a quarterback. I'm just going to say that right now.
You want to go on a Jake Rudock rant right now?
No, that's for another time.
Yes. But A'shaun Robinson, I was surprised to see him going this far into the second round. But those first two picks were phenomenal picks. But besides that, I didn't really see anything that that's going to jump out to me that they're going to make a huge impact. But you have the Lions finishing last, I'm assuming.
I have the Lions finishing last. I don't think they can overcome what's in the NFC North. I mean, Matthew Stafford, he's a fine quarterback, not a great quarterback.
Mediocre.
And Calvin Johnson, who was the only thing that the Lions had to hang their hat on, and he retired. So it's just Detroit sports are going to have another thing to be disappointed about this year,
yeah.
Sadly.
Unfortunately, that's how it is. Yep.
Yep.
So moving on.
Now we're going to talk briefly, not going to go on too much, but this Tom Brady incident happened, what was it, yesterday, where he announced that he's not going to
go to Supreme Court.
He's not going to argue anymore. I think that that's a good move on his part. You know, enough. It's been long enough for a stupid case like this. I know I'm going to show a little bit of biasness towards the Patriots. I'm a big Boston sports fan. But what I don't understand is a case this small. Now, I know Tom Brady destroyed his phone, and that was a big piece of evidence. And it looks a little sketchy, but at the same time, when you demolish a team 45-7, what does the impact of the ball air pressure have, in your opinion? A loss that big, does the ball pressure really have that big of an impact?
Honestly, I don't think so, but Tom Brady destroying his phone, obviously he had something to do with it.
Think he had something to do with it?
Absolutely. Why would you go out and destroy your phone for evidence? Is he having an affair or something that he doesn't want his wife to find about?
I don't know.
It's just, why would he do that? And I'm glad that he just accepted his 4-game suspension. He's not going to take it. This has gone way too far. This has gone way too long. He should have accepted his suspension way long before all this escalated this far.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame this had to happen, but in my opinion, you look at who the Patriots have, their first four games, which Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play, at Arizona, Miami, Houston, and Buffalo. Three of those four games are home games, but I say worst-case scenario, they go 1-3. Best-case scenario, though, they go 3-1. I don't see him winning at Arizona. First start for Jimmy Garoppolo since, what, college, and I don't see him having a performance that really will lead them past the Cardinals. And then Miami, you know, they could win that. The Miami Dolphins
They definitely could.
Yeah. They're not as strong as a team, and I think, you know, the loss of Tom Brady isn't going to hurt them too much against the Dolphins. And, you know, I think that's the one game that they are for sure going to win. Then go Houston and Buffalo, and those two games are toss-ups. Houston's a pretty strong team, so I can easily see them losing. Seeing how Jimmy Garoppolo does in those first two games, though, you know, the same thing happened, you know, early, when Tom Brady started going with Drew Bledsoe. All it took is Drew Bledsoe to get hurt. Tom Brady comes in, and he becomes one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Now, I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo is going to become one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I'm just saying that it's a similar situation. You know, Drew Bledsoe was near the end of his career when that happened, and Tom Brady, hate to say it, you know, you can't be a quarterback forever in the NFL. So his time is running short also, so It would be very nice to see Jimmy Garoppolo show some signs of stardom in these first four games. But if he doesn't, then at least you know Tom Brady's going to be coming back and hopefully leading them back to the Super Bowl, which I think they will. And the Patriots are my Super Bowl pick for next year.
Yeah, like you said, it's only four games, so it's not going to be that big of an impact.
It could be a lot worse.
It could be an entire season. It could be less than that. But
although I don't think they would suspend a man for an entire season.
It's ridiculous. I don't understand why it's lasted this long. It shouldn't have. But that's just how it is. So, you have anything else to add before we close out?
I think we touched on everything we needed to talk about today. Do you think so? What do we
think? I don't have anything else to add. So, I think that's going to be about it. Thank you all for tuning in, if you tuned in. And tune in next week for our next one. Thank you.